19 years old when I got into the Big 12. Just kidding. No,
not even close. As much as people tell us it helps them, it's helping that we're getting so much out of it as well. So, yeah.
I love being able to call John O'Neill and talk to him.
You know, losers have excuses and winners have programs. So yeah. I figured that I'd just call it up.
I've heard it said that a referee can make up to 7 decisions per play.
Let's just get right to the news.
And I have never known 10-2-5-A-1 better than I do right now.
Thank you. A genuine love of football that came from my dad. I don't know how close this episode will air to Father's Day, but how about a shout out to all the dads out there?
Good day to all of the supporters out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
We thank you so much for listening. We're going to start it off right off the bat with that.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly to our patrons. Those of you who have kind of so graciously donated a dollar here, a dollar there. Yeah.
Anything. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool, yeah. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's new?
Oh, not too much.
No?
It's kind of starting to get back into the flow of things as far as kind of this off-season officiating, you know, program going.
So, right.
Yeah.
You got some goals all filled out and ready for accountability partner to check in?
Yeah. Sitting across from me. Yeah.
That's right.
How was your week, or you know, how are things going in general?
Not bad. Jennifer's out of town again. She'll be back tomorrow.
Okay.
So bacheloring it up.
Airport run coming in your future?
No, she's got it. I won't be able to get off in time, so she's getting a ride home with some employees, peers, or whatever you want to call it. So they'll be home tomorrow afternoon, but then she leaves again for a little weekend girls trip. So, there's that. What about you?
As far as just what's going on,
General.
Just back in the grind, like I said. Trying to think. Anything in particular, project starting up at work.
Yeah.
Just starting to do that. And I don't really have any plans for the weekend. So, it's just a normal kind of week.
Okay.
Yep.
So we got any emails or comments to read today?
Yeah, we've getting comments from several sources. I just chose this one. I think it was from the website on the last show with John Braun.
Yeah.
Says, hey, it's from Tito.
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 Jackson?
Yeah. Just Tito.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, guys, great show. I really was impressed with John, and I'm looking forward to the rules exchange. This is a great way to learn and listen. Listening to you guys is a great way to have some insight into the amazing world of college football. Keep up the great work. Mm. So thank you, Tito. And there's others that have sent some things in. We just haven't read them. Yep. Thank you for sending those in as well. So
that's absolutely. So that was great. We've been getting a little bit more and more here and there, and that's what we asked for. So continue. There's been a couple of little ideas that people have thrown our way too. So we always like for those. So
yeah, I think we're going to implement a couple of those.
Yep, right? We will for sure. But
and regarding the rules exchange,
mm-hmm.
if you're listening to this, you probably got the email, and that should have the information about the rules exchange. So,
yep.
Assuming you're a subscriber, you should be a subscriber. If not, go to rule11officials.com and enter your email address and hit the subscribe button. So.
Then you'll get all the gold.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to a gentleman named Keith Vincent today.
Yes.
He's an author.
He wrote... He's a basketball official.
Right.
And why do we have a basketball official on?
We're thinking about changing basketball.
No. Actually, he's also the co-author of the Sports Official Tax Guide from Referee Magazine.
Yeah, good read.
So, obviously, the show is going to kind of talk about taxes and officials in particular.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe dispel some myths about what people can deduct and
right.
Like that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So
we're going to talk about that. He'll be on here shortly. So how about the standard quote of the week? Actually, it's not standard because it's something new every week, but you know what I'm saying.
Quote of the week. Quote of the week. We need like a, some playing music or something. This one's from the greatest, Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Says, don't count the days, make the days count. So, I enjoyed that one.
That's a good one.
Sometimes you're kind of...
short and sweet.
Yep. So...
okay.
I'm ready.
He's calling in.
Calling in right now. All right, we're joined today by Keith Vincent. He's the co-author of the Sports Officials Tax Guide that was published by Referee Magazine. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. And we just thought this would be a good topic, kind of to dispel some myths about officiating taxes in general. I know when I read that tax guide, I learned a couple of things that I shouldn't be doing. So, yeah. So, first, could you introduce yourself a little bit, kind of how you're involved with officiating, how you got involved with the tax guide itself?
Sure. I've been officiating basketball for about 30 years now, kind of winding things up here pretty soon. One day I got an email from Referee Magazine asking me to write an article for the magazine. There at the back, you know, they have the law tax article at the very back of the magazine. And so I wrote an article, and I guess they liked it because a couple months later they asked me to write another one. And I did several of those. And then I guess whoever was the author of the tax guide had retired, and so they asked me to do an update about 4 years ago. They asked me to do an update of the tax guide, and then the year after that they asked me to do a major revision. And so every year since then I've either been doing updates or revisions.
Gotcha. And your profession outside of officiating?
I am a certified public accountant. Yeah, okay. CPA.
Gotcha. So you're perfect guy for this.
Yeah, the shoe fits.
Yeah. Yep. So before we get started, where can folks find the tax guide? Like if they were trying to look for it?
If they're NASO members, they can go to their NASO account and should be able to download it from there.
Okay.
Let's see. There's also, I just got an email the other day. You can download it through the App Store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either through the App Store if you're a Mac. I mean, if you're an Apple user, through the Google Play. If you're an Android user, okay. Download it through there, or you can get an actual hard copy. Order it through NASO.
Okay, great. We'll try to put a link on our site to there. So, yeah.
So let's just start off with it. There's, I think, when I read through it, was two of the biggest components.
Yeah.
Either a contractor or an employee. Can you talk about the differences between the two?
Sure. An employee, that's how most people just kind of have their job, their regular job. They're an employee, and they the employer tells them when to show up and what to do when they get there, and they get a W-2 at the end of the year showing what they've been paid. Some associations and some school districts, I'm talking about the high school level now, require the officials to be employees. Most officials are independent contractors, and that's the way they receive their pay as an independent contractor, and they receive their IRS forms as a 1099 independent contractor.
Okay.
I will say, just in this realm here, there's a third factor that doesn't really get talked about when you're talking about taxes, and that is that a lot of associations, I know most recently there was a case in Pennsylvania where a lacrosse organization asked the labor board in Pennsylvania to treat them as employees rather than independent contractors, because they wanted back wages, overtime. They wanted to be covered under workers' comp. And so they asked to be regarded as employees under the labor board. And the labor board held that they were employees. I don't know the tax implications of that in that particular area in Pennsylvania, but I know that's a huge tax implications for the association. Were they employees of the association, or were they employees of the league, or the employees of the high school activities association? I don't know the answer to those questions, but it makes a huge difference from the employer side when you've been treating officials as independent contractors, and now all of a sudden you have to treat them as employees with all of the overtime rules and workers' comp rules that are involved in that.
Gotcha. Are there any differences with how you report income?
Yes. If you're an employee, like I said, you get a W-2 form, and that goes on a certain part of the 1040. If you're an independent contractor, then you have to report your income and expenses on Schedule C, and then therefore you're subject to self-employment taxes as well. When you're an employer, you pay half of each of your employees' Social Security and Medicare taxes. The employee pays the other half. When you're an independent contractor, you're responsible for 100% of those Social Security and Medicare taxes.
Okay.
What are some new tax laws affecting officials nowadays?
So with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act passed in December of 2017 for the 2018 year, the biggest change is that self-employed individuals, independent contractors, in other words, qualify now for the what's called the qualified business income deduction. And in simple terms, that's 20% of your net income now can be deducted on the tax return in order to arrive at your taxable income. That's a very simplified answer. That's the biggest thing. The second biggest impact is that those who were considered employees but could deduct their officiating expenses on Schedule A under unreimbursed business expenses can no longer deduct those expenses. So if you're self-employed, you have a deduction that you never had before. But if you're an employee, you've lost deductions that you had before. That's the two biggest impacts.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great explanation to get the distinction between those two. So one of the big things that officials want to know about is which items they can deduct. Which of their officiating expenses are deductible?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. I'm going to.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to go through some of these one by one, and you can kind of talk about them if that's okay.
Yeah, let me just throw out an overall. The IRS says you can deduct any expense that you incur as long as it is reasonable and necessary for your business. Now, they don't define reasonable and necessary. They say they leave it up to each individual's facts and circumstances. But for example, I had a client who blew out her knee, and in order to be able to continue refereeing, she had to have a knee operation. normally medical expenses are not business expenses, but in this case, I presented to the IRS that they were, because it was necessary for her to have that in order to continue to officiate, and they allowed it. Hmm. So, was it necessary? Yes. Was it reasonable? In this case, it was. So that's the overall rule of expenses, reasonable and necessary.
Gotcha. Wow.
So let's go through one at a time. We'll be glad to talk about it.
So around here when we're doing D2 and D3 games, we drive a lot to these games, right? Yep. Right. So one of the things that I want to know about is the automobile, things around the automobile itself. You know, which things are deductible and which are not.
Great. So that's probably the most abused expense for officials, but it's also probably the biggest expense for officials, the cost of driving to and from games. So the IRS says you have an option. You can take your actual expenses, your gasoline, your oil, your car insurance, your license plate fees, all of those actual expenses, or you can take a mileage deduction, and every year the rate changes on that deduction. So the caveat, though, is that if you drive your car 30% for business purposes, in other words, officiating purposes, then you can only deduct 30% of all of those actual costs.
Gotcha.
So in other words, you can't deduct all your, every time you fill up your car with gas, you can't deduct every fill up, because 70% of that gas is going to personal use.
Mm-hmm.
The way they define percentages is based on mileages. So if you keep an accurate mileage log, they'll add up all your miles for officiating purposes and all of your miles total and come up with a percentage. That's how they get the percentage use.
Okay. Okay. So, the key there is keeping an accurate log of all your driving.
That's the key, 100%.
Yeah.
If and you have an accurate log, then the IRS is going to accept what you've written down.
Mm-hmm.
They want it contemporaneous. In other words, they want you to write that mileage log, every few days or at the end of the week or whatever. They don't want you creating it at the end of the year when you by the IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that log, is it all of your driving, or is it just the driving you do for officiating?
Well, hopefully at the beginning of the year, you write down the mileage on your car or cars at the beginning of the year. And if you only keep mileage for your officiating, that's fine, because what they'll do is then you write down the miles at the end of the year.
Okay.
So let's suppose you put 16,000 miles on your car for the year, and your log shows 10,000 miles for just officiating. So they'll take that ratio and use that as your percentage use.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to write down everywhere you go. Yeah. But you do need to write down for officiating purposes where you go.
Okay.
That makes sense.
What about the, what if you choose to take mileage?
So again, all of your business miles, say we're 10,000, then you deduct, you multiply that by the standard rate this coming year in 2019, it's 56 cents a mile, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that. So you write down 10,000 times 56 cents a mile, and you get $5,600 of expense.
Okay.
And for 99% of officials, the mileage rate's going to be higher than the actual expense.
Got it.
Gotcha.
So that's your better bet, is just to use the mileage at the yearly rate and probably do both, checks and balances, which one's better, but
yeah,
that makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
Correct. Now I know some officials who have, a pickup truck, and that's all they drive for. They only drive it for officiating. So it's pretty much 100% use for officiating. In that case, they probably are going to have a higher deduction for the actual expenses.
That makes sense.
But most people don't do that.
Each individual is a little different. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
What about meals and entertainment?
So this year, under the new tax laws, entertainment is no longer deductible. And entertainment has historically been things like country club dues or tickets, you know, season tickets to a professional team. Those kinds of things were entertainment, and those are no longer deductible. Business-related meals are still deductible at 50%. And in order to qualify as a business meal, there has to be a business purpose. So I, in my realm, I say, okay, after a game, me and my crew, we go out to Applebee's, if I can say Applebee's. We go out to a local restaurant.
Sure.
And have a meal, and we go over our plays. We do a post game.
Sure.
That's a legitimate business purpose, and therefore, that meal would be 50% deductible. But if you just go and say, "Oh, we're just going to go grab something to eat," and you don't do anything that's business related, then technically that meal would not be deductible.
Okay.
Now that's in town. If you're out of town, if you have to travel to another town, which the IRS says is more than 50 miles away from your home, then any meals at that site, that game site, before or after the game would be deductible because it's out of town. Again, at the 50% rate.
Okay. We talked about automobile travel. What about flights? Yeah.
Any other travel other than automobile, planes, trains, and automobiles, or not automobiles, planes, trains, and taxis, Uber, any of those kinds of things are 100% deductible.
Okay. Good to know.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Along with in the travel category, hotels, parking, anything travel related other than the driving of your personal car, all are 100% deductible.
Okay. It's a good one.
Good to know. Yeah, absolutely.
What you got next?
What about, so we got to pay dues every year or subscriptions to Referee Magazine and other publications. What about those items?
Again, the rule is reasonable and necessary.
Yep.
So dues obviously are necessary. You can't work if you don't pay your dues.
Yeah.
Referee Magazine, if you can show that you're using it for education to become, you know, to be a better referee or training, then that would be considered reasonable. So yes, those all of those kinds of things would be deductible.
Yeah, those two words are going to stick around for a while. I think those are really useful.
Yeah, if you don't remember anything else.
Yeah, if you don't remember anything else, remember reasonable and necessary.
There you go.
Yeah. So I assume uniforms are going to be deductible?
Uniforms are, and you know, in the case of my female officials, a lot of them get their shirts tailored or their pants tailored professionally. Again, that would, to me, that's reasonable and necessary.
Okay.
So those uniforms and alterations would be.
Gotcha. What about the guys that get the tight shirts going on with the muscle showing?
Yeah. Yeah. I with the guys with the guns.
Yeah.
You, Dwayne? Absolutely.
Okay.
That's good to know because there's a lot of folks out there that tailor their stuff. So that's a good one to know.
I definitely do my pants, but the other thing I don't have on the list here, camps and clinics, the training type things. What about?
Absolutely.
Those? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Even if it's not a training, let's say it's strictly a tryout camp.
Yeah.
Again, you're trying to progress your career, trying to move up from high school to D2 or D2 to D1. Again, those would be considered reasonable expenses.
Okay. What's that? Legal and professional. So, when I was reading that in the tax guide, it was just like, I guess if you're using a CPA kind of to do your taxes, that kind of thing.
Sure. Or if you're trying, a lot of officials nowadays, especially the D1 guys who in the basketball arena work, you know, 200 games a year, and that's basically their full-time job. Mm-hmm. They've created limited liability companies. And so, you know, if you had legal expenses related to creating the legal liability company, even that would be deductible as well. But certainly, if you're paying a CPA or some other tax professional to do your tax returns, the portion related to your officiating would be deductible. I don't know if you could, you know, write off the entire tax return fee, but you could certainly write off the part that was related. You know, if 50% of it was because you had to do that certain schedule,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could write off 50% of it.
Got it. Okay. What about a lot of us work at home for in this avocation in one way or another? What about home office expenses?
Watching video and
whatever
else.
Right? Yeah, that's a great question, Tyler. That's also one of the most abused tax write-offs. So the rule there is that you can have a home office for any type of business, and officiating included, but the rules are that the office or the space has to be 100% totally dedicated to that business.
Got it.
I've known of cases where, okay, you've got an office and there's a closet, and the closet is used to hang up winter coats when you're not, you know, in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS agent said, well, then you haven't used that room exclusively 100% for business.
Wow.
Now that's an extreme case, and yep. You could certainly, you know, argue against it, but that's kind of the way they look at it. It truly 100% has to be used only for that business.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And so what you do then is, it's a percentage kind of thing. If the room is 200 square feet and your house is 2,000 square feet, then you get 10% of your expenses, your heating, your utilities, your property taxes, your mortgage interest. 10% would go to the office expense. Now, a couple of years ago, they put in what they called a safe harbor, so you didn't have to keep track of all those kinds of things, and you could just say, all right, I'm going to get a dollar amount, $5 per square foot, and I'm going to use that flat rate for my home office expense, and you have the choice.
So yeah, thanks for taking us through that. I think that's the biggest things that at least
one more thing you probably don't really care about or want to know is that if you do use the home office deduction and you use the actual expenses like mortgage interest and property taxes and utilities, then when you sell your house, 10% of the gain, if you have a gain, is not allowed to be excluded like you would normally have when you sell your house. If you sell your home and meet certain requirements, you can exclude the gain. But if you've used that 10% for business, then they want you to pay taxes on 10% of the gain, which is why they put that safe harbor in. If you use that safe harbor, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Wow.
way too much detail.
It's so good. Yeah, it's good to know.
They get it all figured out.
That's why we have guys like you. Yeah. That's we pay guys like you to do.
So how long should we keep our documents for each year?
The logs and
that. Yeah, that's a great question. Most attorneys will tell you for business purposes to keep your tax records for 7 years or your business records for 7 years. I think that has to do with the statute of limitations on lawsuits and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The IRS only requires you to keep your documents for 3 years plus the current year. So right now, the current year we're in is tax year 2018. Mm-hmm. So you would need to have 3 years before that, 17, 16, and 15.
Got it.
Okay.
That's all the IRS requires.
I wanted to...
Oh, yeah.
If you, I'd like you to just I was reading the portion of the article on frequently asked questions. Could you just go over maybe a couple of the ones that you think you see most and just touch on those if you could?
Sure. I think you've touched probably most of those already. The mileage with the auto and just the general, what can I deduct? Yeah. Those are probably the questions I get asked more often than any other one.
Okay.
I'm looking at the guide here, trying to find those frequently asked questions to see what other ones are there. Can I deduct my computer expenses if I have a computer? Again, yes, and it would be a percentage of how much you use that computer for your officiating business versus your personal. Same thing with the cell phone. Mm-hmm. Do I have to, here's one that comes up a lot. Well, you know, I went and I did a scrimmage and they just gave me $50 in cash. So I just put it in my pocket. Yeah. Do I have to claim that? Well, if you just told me about it and I'm doing your tax return, yes, you have to. The IRS says any amount of income, whether it's $25 for, hey, this is just to cover your gas. The coach gives you $25 out of his own pocket. Technically, you're supposed to include all of that in your income.
Got it. Okay.
So any final thoughts or like words of wisdom for folks, officials?
Document. Keep your receipts. If for some reason you didn't get a receipt, write it down, right? I went out to the dinner and I forgot the receipt. Write it down on a piece of paper. Who was there? What was the business purpose? If you do it right, at that or close to that time, the IRS probably is going to, you date it and put time on it. And the IRS is probably going to accept that. If you don't have some kind of proof of your expense, the IRS is just, you're a great guy and I believe you, but too bad. Right. That's kind of their attitude. If it's not documented, they're not going to accept it.
Gotcha. These phone apps that like Expensify and all sorts of things where you can.
Yeah, those, that's also new. I don't think there's been any test cases in court yet, in tax court. So I would say that's better than nothing. A lot of people are going paperless now. So I would think that eventually they're going to have to make some kind of ruling that those are either good or they're not good. Yeah. I'll tell you, a friend of mine, again, this is kind of being a hard-nosed agent, but a friend of mine did not get to deduct his travel expenses to the game sites because the IRS agent said he didn't have proof that he actually worked the games. And even though he said, well, I got paid, here's my proof that I got paid, the IRS agent wouldn't accept that. They said he had to have a copy of the game report or a copy of the score sheet or something like that. Again, this is a very extreme case. And I had been there, I would have gotten another IRS agent. they can be that difficult sometimes to work with. They really can.
Gotcha.
You just got to have every single bit of documentation you could think of.
Okay. So you're keeping your game report too. That's useful.
Yeah, I think you just have a folder. 2019 football season and everything that has to do with that season, throw it in there.
That's the best. I think that's the best way to do it. Just be organized by season.
Right.
And if you work more than one sport,
sure.
Just keep right. For each sport. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then the second bit of advice I would give is if you're not sure, seek out a tax professional.
Yep.
Not necessarily a CPA, but someone who's got good tax experience. Mm-hmm. With your individual situation.
Thanks, Keith.
This is great. Yeah.
Yeah, this is.
Thank you.
I think this is a topic that's will be well received by many because it's
confusing for one.
Right, but again, just remember.
Yeah, reasonable and necessary. That's and documentation.
That's right.
Reasonable.
Three words, right there.
Two words.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's so much. Misconception out there and myths about what you can do and what you can't do.
And I understand coming from the other side, nobody likes to do their taxes. Right. And especially if you, you know, if let's say you do baseball and you go from February to May or June and then you're done. And then all of a sudden now it's 6 months later, it's December and you're going, oh crap, where was all that stuff I had for my taxes? And you got to dig it all out or you got to make it up. Don't do that. Don't make it up.
So Keith Vincent. I'm telling you what, there was some solid information in there.
Solid, yeah, bits of information.
All you people out there that like to do the tailoring,
yeah,
made your day. Telling you what.
Yep.
And I know a few out there.
Yep. Get it.
So no.
Save those receipts.
Yes.
Save those receipts.
Why not?
Documentations. Document it. That's my takeaway. You got to document everything.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't hard to do.
No, you just got to remember to do it real quick and get it done. So,
yep.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. I mean, if it can save you a little bit of money and on the taxes, and there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I'd usually do the big stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The flights and stuff that. And camp fees and stuff and receipts from those, but it's some of this other stuff.
Yeah, but if you're having a meal, talking about post game, there's another one. Right, so... That was good information. So we thank Keith for coming on and talking his profession.
Yep.
A little different, but I think it was well worth it. So,
So thanks again for listening.
Mm-hmm.
And keep those emails. Again, if you haven't heard or saw on our emails yet, we do have Patreon out there if you want to become a patron of the show and help support us. You can donate as little as $1 and it'll help us, you know, do what we do and do some new things.
So, thanks. Thank you for that. Okay. So, we'll be back with you in a week and we'll talk again soon.
Goodbye.